the world would never be enough, and I won't take less than your love. It's sad to say tonight, but in many marital relationships, men and women really don't know how to love one another. You think about the high divorce rate in the country in which we live. It's a direct result to men and women not loving like they should as husband and wife. Marriage is one of the three institutions that God ordained. Hebrews 13, verse 4, marriage is honorable and all, the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Marriage is an honorable institution ordained by the God of heaven. In matter of fact, when God had created man of the dust of the ground and brought all the animals before Adam, and Adam gave names for all the animals, there was not a suitable mate found for the man. And God would echo, it's not good for the man to be alone. And God would make an helpmeet for the man. He would create a woman for Adam. Interesting today in our society how people are trying to change what marriage is. And they're turning it into something that is not honorable, but instead something that is absolutely dishonorable. Oftentimes in this country and in the federal government and even in some state governments, they're trying to bring the institution of marriage down, making it legal for a man to marry a man or a woman to marry a woman. But God never ordained such things. No, in the marital relationship, it is supposed to be one man for one woman for a lifetime. Then on the other hand, in that arena where we have men and women marrying each other, there are many individuals who end up getting married who don't even have a biblical right to be married. There are those who have been divorced multiple times and don't have a scriptural divorce, and they end up getting married all over again. God never ordained that a man could put away his wife for any reason under the sun and then could get married all over again. You see, marriage is only honorable when a marriage is conducted and carried out in the way God says in His Word. Marriage is indeed a taste of heaven when a man and a woman who have the right to marry come together and bind their hearts in love. Bringing their lives together, being committed and dedicated to one another because of the great love they have for one another. But we don't see that very often in this society. We see so many other things taking place. We see men and women just living together without the benefits of being married. Oh, they claim, you know, we're just partners or whatever. But you may remember Jesus told the woman at the well that the man she had was not even her husband. He basically was telling her, all you're doing is shacking up. You're living together, and that's wrong. You're not married. You don't have the right to be doing this. We need to let people know that marriage, according to God's plan, is a beautiful thing. But when it isn't according to God's plan, it will condemn one soul to a devil's hell. It's been said that marriage came from heaven. And of course, I agree with that. But we better also understand that thunder and lightning also came from heaven. And they can be very destructive. So in our marriages, we need to make sure that they are conducted according to God's plan. One man for one woman for a lifetime, when the man and the woman have the right to be married according to God's pattern. And in that relationship, the thing that needs to bind the man and the woman together is a deep, abiding love for each other. Men, we need to learn to love our wives. We need to understand that the wife is going to be different from us. Not just physically, but different in the way they look at things, their likes and their wants. 1 Peter 3, verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You see, when a man and woman come together according to God's pattern, and they love each other like they should, then they're able to enjoy the best this life has to offer. And when they really love each other, they're not just going to be concerned about one another's physical needs. They're going to be concerned about helping one another serve God. And they're going to assist each other in doing those things that are right and acceptable in the sight of God. Men, we need to learn to love our wives. We need to understand that the wife looks at things far differently than we do. You know I go to get my shower at night, and I get undressed in the bathroom, and I take my clothes off, and I pile them up in a pile, and to me, I put them up. But my wife expects me to take them and put them in the pantry where the washer and dryer's at. But when I take them off and put them in the bathroom floor, to me, that's where they go. But she expects them to be put somewhere else. I need to understand that. To me, as long as we've got a roof over our head, a place to eat, a place to sleep, it's okay. My feeling is when I go to sleep, I don't know if I'm sleeping in the outhouse or the White House. But our wives want something nice. They want a place that's nice and a place that's clean. And we need to understand there's a difference in the way we look at things. Whenever I set a young couple down who's wanting to get married, I always talk to them and I say, you know, you've got to understand that both of you are going to look at things differently. So I'll just ask a little simple question. I'll ask the girl or the woman I'm talking to who's wanting to get married, you go to buy a car, what are you looking for? And about 99.9% of the time she'll say, oh, I'm interested in how clean it is. How does it look? What color is it? Is the interior in good condition? You know, is it a pretty car? And then I'll ask the man, what do you look for? He says, I want to know if it's mechanically sound. What kind of tires does it have? Are they got a lot of tread on them? How many miles does it have on it? How much oil does it use? What kind of gas mileage does it get? You see, we look at things differently. So oftentimes, women look at the appearance of things, and men want to look at things more logically. Now, that isn't putting either down. That's just the way we are. You know, when Satan tempted Eve, she saw what the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil had to offer. She was looking at it, paying attention to that. So men, we've got to understand that our wives are going to look at things differently than we do. We've got to understand that if we're ever going to get along, and we've got to learn to love them. Colossians 3 verse 19, husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. There have been so many people I've seen who have been married for several years, and it seems like they've gotten so bitter against each other. The husband doesn't seem like he really loves the wife anymore. He's grown bitter, resentful. Stories told about an older couple who were traveling from Charlotte, North Carolina, down to Greenville. They were going along I-85, and all of a sudden, a highway patrolman pulled them over. The man stopped, his wife sitting beside him. She was extremely hard of hearing. And the highway patrolman come walking up and asked the man to roll down his window, and he said, sir, I noticed that you were driving a little over the speed limit there. Can I see your license? And his wife said, huh? What'd he say? And the man looked at her with disgust and said, he wanted to see my license. And he gives him his license, and highway patrolman looked at him and said, oh, you're from Greenville. Said, you know, I used to live in Greenville years ago. And the man's wife said, huh, what'd he say? And the husband looked at her and frowned and said, he said he used to live in Greenville. And the highway patrolman said, you know, when I lived in Greenville, I dated this woman there. And said, man, she was mean as a rattlesnake. Said she was nasty. Said she said all kind of bad things and it's hurt my feelings all the time. And the woman said, hey, what he say? And the husband looked at her and said, he thinks he knows you. You see, sometimes we can get on each other's nerves. And a man can become bitter against his wife. Husbands, we got to learn to love our wives. When we enter into a marriage relationship, we ought to enter into it with the idea of we're going to make this thing work. We're going to be there for each other. No matter how bad things get, no matter how tough the times become, and the only thing that will hold us together is love. Learning to love like we ought to. But that's not a one-way street. You see, we've got to learn to love each other, and the wife has to learn even to love her husband. Titus 2, verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands. You see, women need to learn to love their husbands too. Now, us men are not always easy to get along with. Sometimes we can be kind of aggravating, can't we? You know, and the wife has to understand that we're different. There was a wife one time talking to her husband, and she said, "You haven't told me you love me in years." He said, "Well, I told you one time, and if I change my mind, I'll let you know." You know, that's the way the man is. He feels like, "I've told you I love you," but the woman wants to hear that on a regular basis. And thus, ladies, you need to understand that us men are different. And you need to learn to love us. You need to learn to love us and help us get better in this life and doing the things that the Lord would have us to. Ephesians 5, verse 33, "Nevertheless, let every one of you so love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." See, the wife needs to respect the husband. God made him the head of the family. And she has to realize that that doesn't make the wife a second-rate citizen in the marriage relationship. As a matter of fact, marriage is a kind of partnership, isn't it? But even in a partnership, one has to be in the position of authority. And in the marriage relationship, the man has been put in that position. So the wife needs to love her husband and respect the authority that God has given him. And sometimes, you know, let's be honest, men, we're kind of hard to get along with too, aren't we? There was a woman who was married to a man, and he always had this bad attitude, was kind of nasty in the mornings, but he always wanted the same thing for breakfast. He always wanted an egg, a cup of coffee, a piece of toast, and his newspaper. And he wanted an egg that was either boiled or scrambled or sunny side up. So his wife got up one morning. She said, "You know, I'm going to surprise him this morning. I'm going to fix breakfast and I'm going to have it just right." So she got the newspaper and put it down on the table at his place. And she scrambled an egg. She boiled an egg and she fried one sunny side up. Had his coffee waiting on him. Had a piece of toast there. And the man got up out of bed and he came in there and sat down at the table and picked up his paper and started reading it and looked down and snarled. And she said, "Good morning, honey. Now, I know I got you breakfast right this morning," said, "you know, I scrambled an egg, I boiled an egg, I fried one sunny side up." And he looked at her and said, "Yeah, but you done scrambled the wrong egg." You see, sometimes us men are hard to get along with. And that's where the wife has to learn to love her husband and help him work through those things. Wives, one thing that men don't like is constantly being nagged about things. That don't work. Instead of constantly nagging, love your husband and help him see what he needs to do to assist you in the things that you're doing. Love is something that's needed in the marital relationship. Marriages would be so much stronger and so much better if husbands would love their wives and wives would love their husbands. "How much do I owe you?" to the mother said, "a son, for all that you taught me in the days when I was young. Shall I bring you a blanket to put upon your bed and a pillow whereon to rest your weary head?" And the mother said, "I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the comforts of the world would never be enough, and I won't take less than your love." You see, parents need to learn to love their children. And children need to learn to love their parents. I'm afraid that's something that's kind of gone out the window these days. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, verse 3, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Without natural affection. You see, there are so many mothers and fathers who really don't love their children like they naturally should. Why, even nature teaches us that a parent loves their offspring. Many of you know over the yesterday and tonight that my wife has Great Danes. She has three females and one male, and she breeds Great Danes and sells the puppies. Well, just a few months ago, she had bred her Brindle Great Dane, and Sally's her name. She stands 35 and a half inches tall at her front shoulder and weighs 130 pounds. And she'll stand up and put her paws up on my shoulder and be taller than I am. So she's a big dog. Well, she had 11 puppies, and we had them in the house, and we were going to work one day, and our son is there out of the Army and now at the police academy. And he was there, and he came out of his room one morning. Came walking out, and Sally met him and backed him all the way back up in his room and wouldn't let him come out because she didn't want him near her puppies. She was going to protect those puppies, and when you've got a dog that big trying to protect her offspring, you're not going to get near them. And our son stands about 6'5 and weighs about 250, but yet he backed all the way up. You see, that tells us something about natural affections, doesn't it? You see, parents ought to have such natural affections for their own children. But that isn't the case. You know, there are men and women who can procreate, but they don't know what it means to be parents. There are so many men who have multiple children by multiple women, and they've never been married, and they don't even provide for the children they brought into this world. That's not love. And then I go with my wife to the store, and I'll sit out in the car, and I'll hear women come across the parking lot with a child saying terrible things to that child, using filthy language, talking to that child and hollering and screaming at them. That's not love. We've got a problem in our society when it comes to parents loving their children and children loving their parents. We've got to get back to the basics, beloved. And parents need to be taught about loving their children. They need to understand the need to have natural affections for their children. A mother ought to love their children. After all, they care that child for 9 months, brought the child into the world. And that ought to cause them to have this natural affection for that child. But women need to be taught how to love children properly. Titus 2 verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. You see, a woman needs to love the child and seek what's best for that child. We should never underemphasize the important role that a woman can play in bringing a child up. You see, a child will end up becoming what the parent really instills in them. You think about that. You remember Timothy? Become a gospel preacher, did he not? And you know why he did? Because of his grandmother and mother. What they taught him as a child. Sometimes I'm afraid we don't emphasize the important role that our ladies in the Lord's church play when it comes to teaching the younger classes and doing the teaching at home. It's been said the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And in some ways that's true. We talk about needing more men to be leaders in the Lord's church. Well, women, that's where you can come in. Teach those children. And if you love them, you're going to bring them up right. You're going to teach them. A child needs guidance. And that guidance will only be given when a person loves the child like they ought to. Husbands need to love the children they bring into this world. You see, the man, being a father, needs to learn how to love the child and treat the child right and instill discipline in them. Whoso hateth his son spareth, or whoso spareth the rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 13, about verse 24. There's nothing wrong with corporal punishment. There's nothing wrong with a spanking. When we lived in Woodruff back in the about 1990-91, I never forget. Our son then was in, I believe, the first grade. And he came home from school with a paper. And the paper said, basically, never whip your child. If you take your child in the store and they're cutting up, misbehaving, hollering, screaming, wanting something, kicking, take them outside, talk to them. And if they won't settle down, then take them home and come back shopping at another time. Let me tell you what would have happened to me. I wouldn't have been able to sit down for a week. You see, we've forgotten how to whip children. And there's nothing at all wrong with that. I got so many whippings when I was young that I'm surprised I didn't wear out 20 belts before I was 10 years old. And matter of fact, I'm as big as I am now because I got so many whippings, my mama kept my hide loose and I had to grow into it. And if you're my age, you know what it's like to have gotten a whipping by your parents. There's nothing wrong with that. Listen, if you're a parent or a grandparent and you love that child or that grandchild, you're going to whip them. You're going to discipline them. You're going to correct them. Because if you don't, you're going to end up reaping what you're sowing. You let the child get away with things and do what they want to do. And when they get older, it's going to come back to bite you. And that's not a fun thing to have happen. We've got so many young people today in drugs. We've got so many young people today in the court system and in juvenile justice. Why? It goes back to parents not loving them and disciplining them. Not trying to control the child and teach them what's right and bring them up in ways that are right. We need more parents who love their children. And see, children also need to learn to love their parents. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Ephesians 6, 1 through verse 3. Children need to learn to be obedient to their parents, to honor them, to show proper respect for their parents. Now, let me tell you, when it comes to respect, parents and grandparents, you can force your children or your grandchildren to respect you while you're there in their presence, but if you force them to respect you, you've turned your back, you better watch out. Because you might force them to respect you while you're there in their presence and they're in your presence. But if you don't ever try to earn the respect by teaching them right and discipline them, then that respect they give you to your face is going to be nothing but a show. You see, we've got to be the kind of parents and grandparents that God wants us to be. And if we'll do that, we'll teach our children right, and they're going to honor us by doing what's right in their life. But then as the child gets older, the child needs to think about the parent. And the child needs to show their love for the parent in assisting the parent as they get older. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8? If any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Talking about widows and how the taking care of a widow first falls back on the family itself. You see, children, as parents get older, have a responsibility to those parents. They need to be there for them. You think about it, when we were all children, who was there for us? If our parents loved us, it was them. And now as our parents get older, we ought to be there for them. We ought to be there to help them, to assist them. We need to show that love for them, doing what we can. What does a parent want from a child? Love. And what does a child want from a parent? The same thing, love. So in the parent-child relationship, love needs to be there. It needs to be the glue that holds the family together. "What shall I give you?" said the man to his Lord. "For giving me this day and every day before. Shall I build you a temple? Shall I make a sacrifice? Tell me, Lord, and I'll pay the price." And the Lord said, "I won't take less than your love, sweet love. No, I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of the world would never be enough, and I won't take less than your love. No, I won't take less than your love, sweet love. I won't take less than your love. All the treasures of the world could never be enough, and I won't take less than your love." Every one of us here tonight is indebted so much to the God of heaven. You think about everything that God has done for us human beings. You think about the fact that without God, we would not have even seen this day. You think about the fact that without God, we would not even have the air that we're all breathing in right now. You think about the fact that without God, none of us would have anything and none of us would be anything. You think about the fact that without God's love for us, there never would have been the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. Every one of us is indebted so greatly to God. God has shown love towards us in an effort to get us to love Him. I remember when I was dating my wife, Dina. I can remember buying things for her, doing things for her. Why? Because I wanted to win her love. That's the way men usually work, isn't it? You know, we're dating a young lady. Oh, we'll even open the car door for her, won't we? Pull a chair out for her to sit down in when we go to eat or something. Why? Because we want to win her love. That's what God has done for us. Everything He's done for me, He's done in an effort to win my love for Him. And He said unto Jesus, "Master, which is the first and great commandment?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." Matthew 22, verses 36 and 37. Love for the Lord. I need to love the Lord supremely. I need to love Him with every ounce of my being. He doesn't want me to build Him a temple. He doesn't want me to make some fancy sacrifice necessarily for Him. No, what He wants me to do is love Him. He wants me to love Him with all my being. He wants me to love Him supremely in my life. And this is a love that, as we've already talked about, we just don't express in word. But we've got to express it in the way we live our lives day by day. John 14, verse 15, "If a man love me, or if you love me, keep my commandments." Jesus said, if you're going to love me, then you keep my commandments. You do what I'm asking you to do. That's how we really show love for the Lord. I've talked to people who were addicted to drugs. I've talked to people who were alcoholics and even drinking at the time. "Oh, I love the Lord," they would say. Anybody can say that. But the real proof is in what we're doing in our lives. What we're doing with our lives relative to what the Lord says in His Word. Now, some of the things the Lord asks us to do, they're not easy. But if we love Him, they're not going to be a burden to us. 1 John 5, verse 3, "This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." You know, when we love the Lord, it's not going to be a burden to do the things He says in His Word and the way He says to do them. Why are you here tonight? You know, you could have been at home. You could have been at a ball game. You could have been doing a lot of different things. Why are you here tonight? Are you here and you're burdened by being here? No, you're here because you love the Lord. And it's not a burdensome thing to come and be with God's people and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, is it? Because of your love for Him. And when we love the Lord, it's not a burden to do anything the Lord asks us to do in His Word. No, we're going to gladly do those things because we love Him. We're going to gladly make sacrifices for Him. Paul would say in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, not that I speak by commandment, but by the occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. He was talking about those Macedonian brethren who had given so much to help the needy saints in Judea, and he was trying to encourage the church at Corinth to do the same. He said, now I want you to prove the sincerity of your love. We prove the sincerity of our love for the Lord, beloved, in the things we say, the thoughts we think, and in the actions we undertake. When we say things and think things and do things that are in harmony with what the Bible teaches, we're proving the sincerity of our love. But loving the Lord begins with, first of all, us sacrificing ourselves to Him. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5, and this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. The key to those Macedonian brethren being able to give when they were so poor is because they loved the Lord, and first of all, they gave themselves to Him. And that's what we've got to do. You say, I've got to give myself to the Lord. I've got to let the Lord be in control of my life. I've got to submit my life to Him in obedience to His Word. And what should cause me to do that? It's my love for Him. When I come to grips with the fact that the Lord loves me so much that He's done all these things for me and continues to do them for me day by day, then I'm going to show my love for Him. I'll give myself to Him. I'll bring my life into harmony with His will. So you see, men need to learn to love the Lord. They need to learn to love the Lord with every ounce of their being. I won't take less than your love. That's what the husband wants from the wife, and the wife wants from her husband, is proper love. That's what the child wants from the parent, and the parent wants from the child, is proper love. And that's what the Lord has shown for us, and now that's what the Lord wants us to give back to Him, is love. It's no wonder that Paul said love is the more excellent way. It's no wonder that he said, love is the greatest out of faith, hope, and love. Tonight, as you look at your own life and as I look at mine, we ought to be determining if we're loving like the Lord wants us to. And we need to make sure that we're loving the Lord most of all. If you're here tonight and you've never obeyed the gospel plan of salvation in your life, won't you love the Lord enough that you would give your life to Him? That you would turn your life over to Him through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ for the remission of your sins, so that the Lord will add you to His church, and then by you being faithful to the Lord, you'll have a home awaiting you in heaven. If you're here tonight as a member of the Lord's church, but maybe you've turned away from the Lord in your life, you've left your first love, isn't it time to come back home to Him? Repent of your sins. Pray to God for forgiveness if you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Come forward, repenting of your sins, confess those sins, and let the church pray for you and with you. Because remember, the Lord won't take anything less than our love. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation tonight for any reason, won't you please come and express whatever need you may have as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.